All right, we're going to turn to the book of Galatians, if we could turn there. The book of Galatians and the 6th chapter. The book of Galatians and the 6th chapter. We're going to begin a brand new sermon series tonight. We're going to look at this during the next 7 weeks. Yesterday, I believe, was the first day of fall. And so we're going to look at the 7 laws of harvest. The 7 laws of harvest. And we're going to look at, we reap only what what has been sown. We reap the same kind as we sow. We reap in a different season than we sow. We reap more than we sow. We reap in proportion to what we sow. We reap the full harvest of the good only if we persevere. We can't do anything about last year's harvest, but we can change this year's harvest. And that's going to be the 7 principles we're going to look at, the 7 laws of harvest. And so really it's one message, all right, 7 points to the message, and we're just going to break each point down. And so we're going to look at tonight, we reap only what has been sown. Now, usually what most of us think of, and I'm probably guilty of this as well, when we think of the concept of reaping and sowing, right away we think of it in a negative sense. We think of paying the consequence for spiritual actions or foolish choices. But the laws of the harvest are not just negative. These laws are also positive. In fact, they are very positive. They are promises of God. We reap what we sow. It's a promise of God. And so we're going to look at the positive and the negative as we look at this series. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Galatians 6, verse 7 is where we'll begin as we look at our very first law of the harvest, and that is we reap only what has been sown. Look at what the Bible says in verse 7. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to look at your word, to grow, to rightly divide the word of truth, to discern what is right and wrong, and Lord, to increase our faith as we look at your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would teach us, Lord, these wonderful principles, not only, Lord, in our mind, but also in our heart. I pray, Lord, that you would help us not just to be educated, Lord, but to be changed. And I pray, Lord, that you would give me the words to say, direct my thoughts. And, Lord, it is my prayer to be a blessing. And so I need to be, Lord, a channel. And so I pray you would work through me through these moments. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Life is filled with choices. Life is filled with choices. And the choices that we make affect us every day, and it affects everything we do. I want to submit to you tonight that the choices that we make not only impact our life, but it also impacts the lives of those around us. I heard the story of 2 Scotsmen that immigrated to California. One brought thistle, the national flower of Scotland, and the other brought honeybees. The thistle began to overcome his garden and spread into the gardens of his neighbors, where the honeybee not only blessed the man with wonderful honey, but also provided pollen and honey to all of his neighbors. The decisions that we make in our life impact those around us. I heard the story of a CEO who was an older man, a friendly man, a wise man, and he was interviewed by one of the news stations. And the interviewer asked the man, "Sir, how did you become so successful in your business?" And the older gentleman said 2 words. He said, just 2 words, right decisions. The interviewer said, "Well, how do you know how to make right decisions?" And the wise man said 1 word. And the interviewer said, well, what is that? He says, experience. He said, well, how do you get experience? The wise old man said two words. Wrong decisions. We make decisions all the time. Sometimes the decisions we make are right and some are wrong, and we must learn from those wrong decisions. But we want the wisdom of God. We cannot make all of the decisions based upon our own wisdom, because if we do that, we'll make wrong decisions. But as Christians, I'm thankful we have the Word of God to help us so that we can see the consequences of sowing and reaping from the lives of others. And it helps us to learn and to make right decisions. We all make choices. Our life is filled with choices. And sometimes it's difficult for us to make these decisions. I heard the story of a doctor who asked his patient if he had trouble making decisions. And the patient said, well, doctor, yes and no. We come with decisions all the time. And we want to make sure that we're making these right decisions. Now, our choices, as I said before, affects our life and it also affects others. And our choices affects us. We don't always see the consequences or the blessing immediately in our life. And yet the Bible teaches us in our text in chapter 6, verse 7, that while the earth remains, no man will mock God by changing for even one time these laws of harvest. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15 says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says in Psalm 90 verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now understand this important truth. Our hearts are sinful. And if we follow our emotions, if we follow our own heart, it is going to lead us to devastation. And so we need to apply our heart, we need to apply wisdom to our heart from a greater source. And that is the truth of the Word of God. That is the influence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Why do we need wisdom? Because we're constantly making decisions. How many decisions have you made today? Well, you've made the decision to watch the live stream. That's a good decision. That's a wise choice. But we're constantly making decisions. And what we reap was planted either naturally or purposefully, either by God or by man, for either positive or negative results. In other words, the law of harvest, we reap only what has been sown. And it has both positive and negative results. And so we need wisdom for the decisions that we make. So we're going to take some time here and look at these two sides, the positive and the negative. First of all, we're going to look at the positive. The positive. We reap blessings from the labor of others. We reap blessings from the labors of others. John chapter 4 in our Bible. Let's turn there if we could. The Gospel of John in the 4th chapter. John chapter 4. And notice what the Scripture says here. John chapter 4 and verse number 38. The Lord Jesus here is talking about sowing and reaping. And he's talking here to his disciples of the fact that they would be reaping what they have not labored for. He says here, verse 38, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Someone wisely said this, if you are enjoying blessing tonight without sacrifice, if you are enjoying blessing tonight without sacrifice, it is because someone else has sacrificed before you. And that is so true. The reality is that we reap that which has been sown from other people, the blessings of other people. Blessings we reap because of what God has done on our behalf. Think about this for a moment, the blessing of common grace. I want to give you some scriptures. You could write these down and read them and study them later. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. It talks about the fact that the blessing of God is on the just and the unjust. Think about this, James 1, 17. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. How many gifts do you have in your life? Are you enjoying in your life today? You are reaping the blessing of God's common grace. The opportunity that we had to wake up this morning is by the grace of God. And the blessing that we had to enjoy this beautiful day, this wonderful sunshine, is because of God's common grace. The Bible says in John 3:27, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given from him from above." God gives to us wonderful blessings, and we reap the grace of God every single day in our life. Every good gift we enjoy comes from God. Not only the blessing of common grace, but there's the blessing of salvation. The blessing of salvation. Think how much salvation cost. I mean, to us it is free, but it cost the Lord His life. It cost the Lord, who is perfect in every way and who knew no sin and is light, and in Him is no darkness, to become our sin, to place upon Him the shame of our sin upon Himself. The reality is that we are reaping the blessing of salvation. And I am glad, I am thankful that the Lord, He sowed those seeds of salvation. Aren't you glad that we get to reap the blessing, the free gift of eternal life? And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I believe that Jesus died for the world, and that every single person on this earth has the opportunity to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And even if they are unthankful, and then even if they are not aware, and even if they reject God's love, yet the grace of salvation is available for them, and they have the opportunity to reap what the Lord has sown. What a wonderful blessing. The blessing of salvation. You know, blessings we reap because of what others have done in our behalf. Blessings we reap because what others have done in our behalf. Not only are we blessed because what God has done on our behalf, but also we are blessed because of what others have done. Others have labored, and we have entered into the blessing of their labors. You know, I think of what we enjoy in our world today. I think of what we enjoy in our church today. The realization that others have labored and others have walked by faith and trusted the Lord, and the beautiful property that we have and the building that we have, it's because someone stepped out by faith and trusted God and took a step of faith, and we are reaping because what they have sown. It's a wonderful blessing. And we have the opportunity, let me say this, we have the opportunity to be a part of that. We have an opportunity to be a part of the ones that do the sowing, so that those behind us can reap what we have done. And our faith, the Bible teaches us that we are to be an example. So many scriptures, John chapter 13, verse 15. The Bible says, "For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you." 1 Thessalonians 1:7, the Bible says, "So then ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Let no man, 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in faith, in purity. Titus chapter 2, verse 7, all in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Listen, being a good example is a form of sowing that can result in reaping Christ-like changes in the lives of other people. And so we want to step out by faith. We want to sow by faith that others behind us can reap. We want to be that example so that others behind us can reap. The reality is that we can reap what others have sown in their life. Parents that trust the Lord and pray and seek the face of God. And the reality is that this is, it's sowing seeds. And the Bible says we sow, we reap what we sow. It is the law found in harvest. But not only do we focus on the positive, and we can go on, and we can look at this principle and talk more and more about this principle of the positive. But there's also a negative side. And oftentimes we kind of lean toward the negative side. When someone says to us, you reap what you sow, oftentimes we think of the negative. And there is a negative side to the sowing and reaping. The reality is we reap the wrong that others have sown. We reap a certain amount of wrong inherited from our parents. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, I mean, we have to go all the way to the beginning, and we need to remember this principle for a moment and how it is intertwined in Scripture. We go to the book of Psalms and find Psalm 51. Would you turn there, Psalm 51, and notice what the Scripture says here, Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and verse 5. Psalm 51 and verse 5. The Bible says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Psalm 58 and verse 3, the Bible says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies, speaking of a sinful nature there. The Bible says in Genesis 5, verse 3, Genesis 5, verse 3 says, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son. He begot a son in his own likeness after his image. For any parent, one of the most scary things that ought to come to someone's mind as a parent is that your child is in your image. They inherit your sinful nature. And if you struggle with it, they're going to struggle with it. Because the reality is that they are of you. They have your same sinful nature. The Bible says that Adam lived 130 years and he begat a son in his own likeness, in his own image. He called his name Seth. The Bible says in Numbers 14, verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the iniquity, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Reality is we all reap the sin of Adam, and we pass the same sinful nature down to our children. But not only are we talking about a sinful nature, but also we're talking about things that children can learn from us. Maybe a short temper. Maybe a critical spirit. Our children can follow in these footsteps that we lead them in. Children are always listening. The reality is they hear and they see and they learn, And the Bible says that we sow, we reap what we sow, and we need to remember what the Bible says. We reap a certain amount of wrong that is inherited from our parents. The reality is we have their sinful nature. But we also reap the wrong of foolish and corrupt leaders. Now, don't get me wrong. I love our country. I may be biased, but I believe that Canada is the best country in the world. I love our country, and I love the foundation of our country. Our country was founded upon the Bible, and don't let anyone tell you anything different. The dominion of Canada is taken straight from the Scriptures, the dominion from sea to sea, that God would have dominion in this country from one coast to the other coast. That is how our country was founded. It was founded on biblical promises and precepts. And yet, when we think about the judgment of God upon a society, it is because a society has drifted further and further and further away from God. Now, if you do a study, we don't have time to do a study tonight, but you can do a study and study Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, the gospel came to the Gentiles, but the Gentiles had taken that truth and they had pushed it aside, and instead of worshiping the true God, they decided that they were going to create their own God. And they started to worship the creature and not the creator. And because of that, terrible sins began to form as a society gets further and further and further away from God. This is the consequence. This is the reaping of sowing that has been done in our country and North America. Today we are reaping what has been sown year after year after year. Generations have been told there is no God. That you're just an animal, that you have no purpose, no reason to be here. And these seeds have been sown in the lives of our young people for generations. And because of that, they began to worship nature. They began to worship entertainment. They began to worship money. They began to worship themselves. And they push God to the side. And Romans 1 teaches us the progression of a society that turns away from God. And friend, listen to me. God will judge sin. And God will judge a nation that turns their back on Him. And if the Lord tarries, the reality is it's going to affect us greatly, because in North America, we've had it real easy, to be honest, as Christians. I mean, for a lot of us, persecution is maybe someone calling us a name at a door when we give them the gospel, or, you know, telling us some nasty things as we try to pass through the gospel tract. But as a society gets further and further away from God, what has to happen is not only is there a rejection of God, but there's also a rejection of those who promote God and those who publish the name of God. And friend, let me say this. I want to be really, real blunt with us. We need to be prepared as Christians for the persecution that I believe that will be coming in our nation. As we get further as a nation away from God, and as sin begins to be promoted and pushed, the church is going to have a bumpy ride through it all. Now, don't get me wrong. God's still in control, amen. And the church will be just fine. Because the Bible says not even the gates of hell can prevail against it. The church will move forward for the cause of Christ, but we have to remember that we will reap the wrong of foolish and corrupt leaders as they promote their agenda of wickedness. We must still stand strong. I was reading a little bit of a book written by Edward Gibbon. It was written in 1787. After 20 years, Edward had had studied Rome as a society. And he wrote this book, really, it's called The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. And in his book, he studied for 20 years the Roman Empire and its fall and their decline. And in his book, he attributes the fall of the empire as being this. This is what he says in his book. This is interesting. This is what he says was the reason why the Roman Empire fell. The rapid increase of divorce. The undermining of the home. Now this, as far as I know, this is not a saved man, but he says the home is the basis of human society. And the reason why the nation of Rome collapsed was because, listen, they turned away from the foundation in which God laid. God laid that foundation. The home is not the idea of society. The family is God's idea. And he said the reason why Rome fell was because the rapid increase of divorce and the undermining of the home and the basis, which is the basis of human society. This is interesting. He said higher and higher taxes and the spending of public monies for free bread, which is socialism, and the circus for the populace. In other words, money was given for entertainment. And if you do any research on Rome, I mean, they lived for entertainment. Everything was about entertainment. They loved pleasure more than God. He says here, the reason why Rome fell was the mad craze for pleasure. Sports becoming every year more exciting and more brutal. And again, Rome had the Olympic Games. They had the gladiators. And entertainment was the reason why people lived. There was no time for God. I hope you're finding a connection here with our society. The building of gigantic armaments when the real enemy was within. The hatred of God and the decay of people, the decay of religion, faith fading into a mere form. In other words, no one cared what God had to say, and religion was just a structure. Religion was just a form. There was no power there. There was no influence there. In fact, it says here in his book that faith fading into a mere form, losing touch with life and becoming unable to warn people or to guide the people. In other words, no influence of truth at all in their life. Now, understand this. I don't know when the Lord is coming back. But I know this. Our country is reaping what we've sown for years. And the reality is that sometimes we reap that which, and we read it in the Bible, of kings who were in charge, who hated God and hated the things of God and the suffering of God's people because of it. The reality is sometimes we reap because of what has been sown by corrupt and wicked men. And yet we just keep our eyes on God, knowing that the king is in the hand of the Lord. We're going to continue these seven laws every Wednesday night. I hope that you'll join us and be a part of it. But tonight we're looking at we reap only what we sow. And we need to remember what the Bible says, that God is not mocked. When we take that seed and we plant it into the ground, listen, it is going to grow. There's no doubt about it. And it's going to impact our life. It's going to impact the lives of others. Someone said this, think about it as we close our message tonight. We sow a thought and we reap an act. We sow an act and we reap a habit. We sow a habit. We reap a character. We sow a character. And we reap a destiny. We reap what we sow. We make decisions every day. And every decision we make, we're putting a seed into the ground. And before we put the seed into the ground, we need to stop and remember that's going to grow. And it's going to impact my life. It's going to impact the lives of those around me. I need the wisdom of God. I need to apply my heart to wisdom so that I make good decisions, so I plant good seeds that are not going to be hurtful but helpful to those around me. I hope the message was a blessing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for all you've done and thankful for your word and direction in our life. May you be glorified with our attitudes, Lord, and help us, Lord, to pause in these busy days to remember that we truly do reap what we sow. Thank you for the law, the biblical principle for our life, Lord. Help us to obey it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to close our service this evening. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Let me grab my hymn book. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We hope it has been a blessing. Remember, Sunday morning, big change in our schedule. Two morning services, okay? 9 o'clock in the morning and 10:30 in the morning. Choose one of those services. Now, the service obviously are going to be the same, so choose the 9 o'clock or the 10:30. We want you to sign up for one of those. Tomorrow you can do that. They'll be on our website. You can sign up for the 9 o'clock or the 10:30, and then we're going to live stream our evening service. I'll be preaching the two morning services. Brother Marr will be preaching the live stream in the evening, and so I know you'll be blessed as we look at God's word once again on the Lord's day. We're going to close with 449, "To God be the glory, great things he has done." Let's sing it together. "To God be the glory, great things he has done," on that first verse. "To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Sing on that last verse together. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see." Sing it now. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. God bless you. Hope to see you on Sunday, the Lord's Day. Have a wonderful evening.